Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. It's now Friday, the second day of March 2018. I'm David Ellis. I'll be with you up until 1 o'clock today, I believe, because of school athletics. As usual, we encourage you to call us at 434-1790. Send your emails to us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. And you can also send us WhatsApp messages at 266-4862. Well, today the curtain comes down on the 2013 to 2018 parliamentary session in the Barbados House of Assembly. And this has been a session which I recall as one where initially the opposition Barbados Labour Party appeared a bit shell-shocked at its defeat at the hands of the DLP, which got him with a two-seat majority in the 30-seat parliament. And for some months, it was my recollection that the DLP, the Barbados Labour Party behaved as though it thought that these two seats were too slim a majority for the Dems to remain in power. And they did exert some political pressure, hoping, I believe, that that would have influenced the change. It certainly didn't happen. The Democratic Labour Party proved that it could skillfully do what was required to remain there, and that's what it did. Instead, though, it was the BLP that suffered the change, with Owen Arthur jumping ship to become an independent on the grounds that he couldn't subject himself to Mia Motley's leadership, and then Maria Agard going independent as well after she was expelled from the Labour Party. In all this, the Democratic Labour Party held firm in its numbers, though we did see Dr. David Esbick take the unusual step in cabinet government of publicly disagreeing with the economic policy being pursued by the Minister of Finance, Chris Sinclair. In all this, though, Mr. Sinclair has had the support of his Prime Minister. In the meantime, Barbados has been through, in these past 5 years, several downgrades by the ratings agencies, thereby making it more expensive for the country to borrow abroad. This is particularly important in a climate where our foreign reserves have been under pressure and have fallen over that period. We have fluctuating concern about crime and deviance in the society. And as we speak, we have this major crisis on the South Coast. There are several other issues that Barbados is facing at the moment as we get ready for this next general election. Today, in the House of Assembly, one can expect that the procurement bill will be discussed in Parliament as well. Of course, you know full well that the opposition is not there. They have said that they are finished with this session, and they have been boycotting this last session, as they did the last one, the one before this. So who's going to be there to advance the arguments and to help us better understand what this procurement bill is all about? To me, a very significant part of what it has to tackle would have to do with this whole question of how we are going to deal with these public-private sector partnerships, which did not begin under the Democratic Labour Party, but where we have seen exposed a gaping hole. And I'm sure you are going to hear in the upcoming general elections who did what in trying to exploit this gaping hole that we spoke about. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Here's a story breaking out of Jamaica. Three Americans have gone missing from the Carnival Sensation cruise ship that arrived at Ocho Rios in St. Anne yesterday. They are identified as a 35-year-old, a 24-year-old, and a 42-year-old, two men and a woman. Reports said that all three passengers boarded the ship, which left from Miami on Monday and arrived in the island around 10 o'clock yesterday morning. Down to Brass Tacks, welcome to the program.
Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
This is your friend here, a man called Mr. Agriculture. Everybody else is counterfeit.
I realize that you really have gone on the rampage recently.
What are you talking about now, David?
I mean, you have returned to the airwaves with a vengeance, man. What is fueling this? The proximity to elections?
David, well, I never stopped calling this program, so I
that's
don't know
true.
What's
you did not. You really had slackened off a bit. Realized, well, for quite a while, I didn't hear you.
You don't always be here. You don't always be
here. Yeah, but I am.
Boy, you are not even.
My cursory
even
observation leads me to ask you the question that I have asked.
All right. Well, you know what
have you been motivated by the fact that elections are around the corner?
Nobody can motivate me. I'm motivated by God. And let me tell you something.
So has God motivated you to call now more regularly than you were calling recently?
Well, let me tell you something. The time has come that Barbados should have had a new government already.
Okay.
And I don't understand why these people dragging their foot in the mud.
Because constitutionally, they can do it. So they're doing what the Constitution allows them to do.
I understand. They're not breaking any laws. They're
precisely.
Not doing anything wrong. But what I have seen in elections, Caribbean-wise, that any prime minister who does that and drag their foot in the mud, they lose and lose miserably.
So why would you be worried, therefore? I thought that in the circumstances, you would be happy to see them dragging their feet this long.
No, I am not happy because I am a poor man who have bills to pay. I still have children to send to school.
What guarantee do you have?
Running like anybody else. But
make the arguments. I don't have a problem with you making the arguments.
Right.
Tell me, therefore.
Uh-huh.
What difference do you believe it would make to you as a poor man with children to send to school and cassava to plant and all of them things?
Oh, Lord.
What difference would it make to you?
Uh-huh.
If we had elections, let's say within the next 4 weeks. Four weeks from now, if we had elections a year ago.
If we had elections a year ago, we will be on the road to a little bit of productivity already.
Okay, so let's assume that we had elections then, or when we have elections, the Democratic Labour Party under Frondell Stewart wins. What difference will it make?
You mean if they win back the government, David?
Yes.
Let me tell you something.
Because your argument is for elections.
Yes.
We're not getting into whether they change the government.
Uh-huh.
Let's assume that you have elections and the Democratic Labour Party wins with Mr. Stewart's leadership.
Yes, please.
What difference would having elections make?
But I don't know what to tell you at all, David, because I would not like to see that day happen at all.
So you are assuming that as long as you have elections, there's going to be a change of government.
That would be catastrophic. But what I'm saying now, David, is that if the election calls, the people will speak, and you will got to respect the electorate. If everything goes the right way and without no interference from persons, and everything is pure and honest and sincere, the Barbados Labour Party should be the government that is brought to the office of
pure,
Barbados
honest.
To bring back this country into
a place of prosperity.
Right,
just now?
Pardon?
Everything pure, right, honest, and sincere? We talking about politics?
But you
we talking about you going to church or something? You get that in politics, my friend? Pure, honest, and sincere?
David,
give me a break. Wake up and smell the coffee, man. Be vigilant. All I'm saying to you all is, stop wasting time with them kind of ideals. And let's recognize what the reality is.
I know what the reality is, David. And I am saying to you, because when I speak to you, you are a person that helps me along, or you guide me along. Because before, people say that I'd be too aggressive towards you. So what I'm saying to you is that I want us to have a nice conversation and a nice dialogue so that when we're done, we can extrapolate something positive from the contribution that we try to make.
What would you do if after the elections, the Dems won?
Well, I must have a heart attack, David. Ain't true. And then the man said that it would come and put a cassava reef on my grave so it would get to do it a lot more faster.
Who said that? Who said those?
I'm going to call you, David. Don't play that. You don't know. Oh. And you have to tell your man you're going down the wrong road.
Yeah.
That when the election call and the Democratic Labour Party is brought back to office, he will be the first body to put a reef on my grave and the reef will be made out of cassava. You think, I just hear every program, you know.
How you felt about that?
I was wonderful because I was sitting down over a bowl of soup where every single ground food that come from out there behind there that the four parents left.
Minus
but you don't got nothing to prove to nobody, my man.
Minus
but
orbit.
The monkeys
minus orbit cassava
me.
In it.
Huh?
Minus cassava or with cassava in the soup?
But you ain't come and get none, so you don't worry with it in it. Listen, I don't cover bus to you every thing. When you sign this and think the humbug of you, it's still there in the fridge. You must feel that he wanted to do something wrong.
No, it is not the bush tea.
I'm going to sell to hurt.
It is not the bush tea.
Because you know what? God sees and he knows all.
It is not the bush tea that I worry about.
Where is that you worry about?
I don't want you to offer me a bush bath.
Why, brother? David, I am not a gravel man. But let me get serious now. We met with jokes and we will move along because at the end of the day, David, though, all unfairness to all poor people. You know that there's no longer a middle class in Barbados, David. You was a middle class, but you was middle class any longer. Tell the truth. I had you categorized
as a middle
class.
I can't agree with you. Just let's talk.
The middle class get wiped out.
Let's talk through it. Look,
huh?
I don't know that the middle class has been wiped out. I can't agree with that. But what
well,
I will say,
you.
Well, that's your assessment. Permit me my own assessment.
Uh-huh.
The middle class is under pressure. There is no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
And what we have to be looking for right now is not just the very simplistic assessment of the BLP-DLP construct,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately, in whom can you put some confidence in taking Barbados forward? Barbados faces is not just a question of what's happening to the middle class. It is what happens to your aspirations as a people. To what extent
right.
can you look at yourself in the mirror today as Barbadians and say, you know, we fought hard. Many people fought hard for where we are today. It is natural that a country will go through some struggles.
Yes.
Things cannot remain the same all the time. But this election that we are going to face is going to be about in whom can you place your confidence to take us forward?
Well, David, let me tell you
stop.
Something. David, the confidence will not be by the Democratic Labour Party.
That's,
let me tell you.
That's you. But I will have some Dems who are going to call me today and they're going to say otherwise. And I have to listen to the two sides talking.
Of course, I would never want you to think that Down to Brass, that is a station for only Barbados Labour Party, because what is happening on the ground, David, and I speak to a lot of people daily, people are saying that you moderators entertain the Barbados Labour Party callers and let us grandstand and do bad on the areas, and when the Democratic Labour Party people come, you hustle them in a corner. And I had to stand up for your station and say, you're all talking...
Well, let's see whether that will happen today. Let's see
nice
whether
to
that happens through. Today. You've had a fair run, though.
You're right.
Thank you very much.
I thank you for it.
Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, sir. I'm calling from Chapman Village in St. Thomas.
Chapman?
Village in St. Thomas.
Okay. Where exactly is Chapman's Village?
It's between Springville and Sturgis.
Okay.
It's split in two, St. Thomas and St. Joseph.
Yes.
This morning, my neighbor called me on his way to work. Asked him about when last garage kept it. I said, this is a good while. He said he really is driving to work this morning from Chapman Village straight to Bridgefield before he get the new court. Garbage spring put in over the road. So Sunday come in before we say I've not had a garbage collection. I'm tired of calling sanitation every 2 weeks or so to ask for garbage. 2 days ago, it was on top of the hill waiting for a bus, which you don't get much snow, to go to town. A garbage truck passed through St. Thomas full of garbage to go to the dump in St. Thomas. But so they can't pick up our garbage. Why is that?
Well, that is
Hello?
A matter. I'm listening to you, sir, recognizing that garbage collection in Barbados has deteriorated. Everybody knows that. And reasons have been advanced as to why the garbage collection has deteriorated. Barbados has a much bigger problem than just the deterioration in garbage collection. It is about how Barbados is going to be going to dispose of its garbage in so many ways. This period here that we are going through is an important one for people like you to get behind the discussion about where we are in that regard, because you can limit your focus to the fact that your garbage has not been picked up. But you got to move to the next level where you start to look at how your garbage is put out right now. You know, do you buy into the notion that we are in a danger zone right now with garbage disposal in the country?
Yes, do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
I try to, at all puzzle points, to recycle my garbage in different ways.
How do you do that?
Bottles are taken down to massive warrings,
mm-hmm,
and sell them back so they get reused.
Yes.
Things that, like a plastic container, catch water, and catch water storing it. I don't throw them away. Different things like that.
But you've listened to all that has been said in the last couple of years about the idea that we had for the plasma gasification plant. That didn't come off, or at least it hasn't come off yet, because these are things that sometimes we don't hear about before an election. Remember, before the last election, we didn't know that plasma gasification was a plan. They don't tell us a lot of stuff beforehand.
That is true.
The devil is in the detail. But you've heard all of this discussion. And the question that I ask you is, what conclusion have you come to as to where Barbados needs to go now in this area?
I believe Barbados needs to go in a way of recycling.
Why recycling?
Recycling is a better way than having to... The plasma gas... I did some research online, right?
Yes.
The circumference around the plasma gasification plant is 250 miles or kilometers. Barbados doesn't have that. To put in St. Thomas now, you know, St. Thomas is instead of Barbados. There's no more plasma on coast, because West Coast is just below it. But to cut the water quality in Barbados now will not be worse than what people think it is in South Coast.
Yeah.
Okay? And the health of persons in and around it, what were they thinking? I was not for it. Because I'm against it. Because you got to live here.
But the problem remains. And that's where we need to put our focus on what solutions are going to be advanced by the political parties for dealing with these issues. Because you know what you have to watch? You have to watch all these side attractions that they want to bring before us. All the little issues about personalities and that sort of thing that do not, at the end of the day, address the main problems facing our country.
That is true.
And in that context, I also took you away from just the narrow idea of saying, my garbage has not been collected for 4 weeks. Unacceptable. You and I know that.
More rodents on the road.
And the question is, what can you do? What's the best that it can do with your garbage if it has not been collected for 4 weeks? There are certain things that they tell you, the biodegradables, put them in the refrigerator until the garbage truck comes out. But that's not easy after 4 weeks.
Nope.
So you have to do something. You can't burn the garbage.
That's against the law now.
They say that has a lot to do with the asthma around the place. But you know, I was watching something the other day, and it occurred to me that in Europe, you know that they have taken a very strong stand against diesel vehicles. They have taken, yes.
I guess it's true, because sometimes you see a bus pull off or a truck pull off, you smoke a black smoke coming from behind it, and you must see near there, dead in 2 seconds. And she wants who got asthma, it's getting fast, because these vehicles, the bars don't get service as much as possible. If you see a car now driving and it got enough for smoke behind it, you want to call this boy, call this buddy. But public service vehicles pull off and see a big Now, babe, that's more for another two or three miles.
Well, the piece I was watching had to do with the extent to which Volkswagen fooled a lot of people in America that their diesel vehicles were environmentally friendly. And it turns out that they're saying that workers exposed to diesel exhaust face respiratory disease, lung cancer, headaches and nausea, and irritation of the eyes and nose. But what caught my attention was the fact that we seem to have such a high incidence of asthma in Barbados. And it seems to me, my cursory observation over the years, is that it seems to be increasing. Is there a potential link between the emphasis that we have placed on diesel vehicles in this country and the rise in asthma? And is it necessary for Barbados to look at this in more detail and determine whether we are perhaps in a situation where we need to review the kind of emphasis that we've placed on these vehicles? All right? So
It's not only the diesel vehicles too. The whole thing about smoking in public. They allow press to smoke in public, right? Yes, good. But what? Was I not in building to smoke? I was walking up Broad Street the other day, and this man on Broad Street walking and smoking. Because they know I have some issues with asthma, I had to cross the road.
Yeah.
Because he just walking free fall.
But if the concern that I have just raised with you is valid, then you leave the building to smoke and go in the road where you're exposed to more danger from the diesel vehicles.
Correct.
All right.
It brings more concern to everybody outside then, not only inside. But my last point here this morning, right, is remember 2-3 years ago, Tasty Kendall St. Thomas, they had a town hall meeting by Holiness and Church. They gave us a proposal about the Tasty project, how it's going to work. Some persons were very adamant that it won't work. They gave us ideas of what's not, oh, we can take it under advisement. They came back a second time now, within Church Hall, when he church. This time the Minister of Transport was there. He said, oh, we're going to bring more vehicles. It's going to work. Same thing, we have had nothing. Right now we have 2 minivans out here. Before it started, we had 8 minivans running here. We have 2. It takes you 2 to 4 hours to get to town or from town back home. And they said this is a project that they want to bring all over this. I don't see it happening. Because if we can't get to work, how are we going to get back home?
Okay. Well, I understand what your difficulty is. I hope that there will be some relief in the not too distant future. On this question,
because we need some.
Yes.
A young lady here, I know she got 1 letters from her workplace. She had to go find a job because she couldn't get to work on time. Didn't see those things. Understand? More than one person that I know here, Pomori, there's a gentleman who lives here who has 3 minivans. One leaves at 4:15, one leaves at 6, one leaves at 6:15. Every morning, people live here, catch those to get to work. If you have to get work from 9 o'clock, because it's guaranteed they're going to get from St. Thomas to town and then kill the time in town to get free get work. So you have to leave on 6 o'clock in the morning to get to town. If not, crack post more point. You get another 1 letter. If you get too much 1 letters, you got to find a job. They ain't seen that thing is happening.
Okay. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Mr. Ellis?
Yes, good morning.
David, how are you doing, man?
I'm well.
Yeah, I want to... I promise not to come very often on this program. Just when you have something to do or to say, come and say, don't want me to... I'll be every day, me. I come from the program saying the same thing all over. Yes, I've been saying the same thing all over all the time. I just want to draw to your attention some things that first, I want to say that last night I sat down this study, I think maybe it's the news media to have a voice in the Senate. I think that it should be something that hasn't happened. I think it should be considered. The news media plays a pivotal part in this country, both news media, and I think they should have a voice in the Senate, the business of government. It's my view for a long time. I haven't seen Dan, but I said, oh, it will happen one day. Okay? You get me?
I'm hearing you.
You're hearing me, yeah. Let me go on to the point. I'm very concerned about... You see me go to in national politics first and get back to Barbados. And the superpowers of all the years has set up puppet regimes all over the world. And these puppet regimes, we saw a lot of problems happening. But I can remember Pol Pot in Cambodia, where over 15 to million people died, or 10 million people more that died. But Batista in Cuba, in Noriega, in that other country. And the superpowers set up puppet governments, okay? And it does, in most of these puppet governments, afterwards, the people live in poverty conditions because the real leaders of who would be good for them, they push one side. And those nations don't want to see certain people lead countries, okay? Let me come home to Barbados. I want to ask you a question. How far are the powers of the Chinese in this country? How far are the powers?
I can't answer that question.
But you can't answer it. I know. I'm friendly. I know you can't answer it. I wouldn't like to answer it to me either. How far are the powers? I don't know. Because when superpowers want to catch and become a superpower, this is how they do in certain countries. I'm concerned about the poverty of Chinese in Barbados. I'm very concerned about it. And not in a bad way, because I remember years ago, they were voted for by Barbados. I think being prime before the Attorney General, and at the time, certain people didn't want the Chinese, but Henry Ford brought up and came to the country. I am now worried about some things that I'm seeing happening. I'm calling the authorities to put forward a case or see what is happening, because I'm seeing some things affected by them, and it's worrying me. So I wonder if their Barbados is not being used. When you're hungry and starved, it can be used by anybody.
But what
anybody
specifically are you talking about? To come with a general observation such as this is not enough.
Mr. Ellis, let me tell you, there are certain things you cannot say in this country.
Well, please,
on news
if
media.
You cannot say
but
here.
But you should hear me.
No.
I don't want to bring
my point to you is this. Yeah. If you can't support anything that you say here, then don't say it here.
To get cut off?
Don't say it here then. Because I cannot allow people to just come and be alarmist without providing something to support
alarmist,
it.
David. You're not being alarmist. I find that Barbados have a problem. When poor people want to say things, they have to be cut out.
No, that's not what we are saying. That's not what we are saying.
My case is
all
clear,
I'm saying to
understand.
All I'm saying to you
that what?
Is that if you come here and you assert that the Chinese...
Not my
Just let me finish.
Not my one minute.
Just let me finish. Just let me finish. If you come and you assert that the Chinese are doing something that against the best interests of Barbados.
I told the best interests.
Then
you can do.
It is also important that you then say, well, and this is the reason why. You can't then retreat from that and tell me, but I can't tell you why, because it's potentially explosive, it's potentially dangerous, it's this, it's that.
What is the sense to come and say something and then you cut off, but in the midst of conversation you got cut off?
But what's the sense of cheating me of getting the information if you can only give me headlines and no details?
I'm concerned, but they're doing that. The Chinese in this country has... I asked a question you asked, a very good question, a lawyer will tell you legal. How far are the powers of the China or the Chinese in this country?
We don't know.
I don't know. I know. You see, all Barbadians putting amp in a situation where, boy, I tell you, boy, I'm sad. I gave it to the dead of this earth. I reached the stage. But I worry about my grandless young family and my grandchildren and things that here. I worry about that here. Okay. If you all worry about it, use a man of feeling, don't worry about it. But I'm sorry from the here.
I am worried about Barbados too, but I can tell you reasons why I'm worried. I don't have to make that statement and then leave it there. I'm worried, for instance, about things like how we look after our infrastructure and our buildings. I mean, I can go down the list of things, and I've given you one, but there are several other reasons that have me worried as a Barbadian. But you expect that if I tell you that, I will give you at least one reason, you know? I can't just leave you up in the air like that and appear to be alarmist and move on. This is down to brass tacks. Yes, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mr. David Ellis. How are you doing, sir?
I'm well.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you. Now, I listened yesterday, a excuse me, please. I listened yesterday to the opening of your program. You had Dr. Don Marshall and Dr. Bell, and they were talking about giving a perspective, as it were. And one of the things that came up from Dr. Marshall was that at this point, what gleaned from what you were saying is that at this point, no party would want to go into a lot of discussion relative to an IMF package, et cetera. You listened to the program yesterday?
No, I didn't hear it.
You didn't? Yeah, but that's what gleaned from what you were trying to say. At this point, no party's going to want to touch it. But you know, I'm on record as asking Ms. Smalley if she'll go to the IMF. I'll bring that laterally in what I'm saying now.
What's the difficulty of looking at what's happening with the IMF? Look, Barbados would not be the first country to go to the IMF. I think that it is fair to say that if we went to the IMF, we would most likely have to go with a program which isn't dissimilar to what other countries around us and of similar size have been exposed to. So what was the mystery about what they're going to ask of us? The IMF has put out reports time after time in their Article 4 consultation on Barbados, identifying what they see as the big challenges facing the country. All you got to do is to look at the Article 4 consultations and see what they're saying to us. There's no mystery about this.
I'm going to ask you by saying, today, you know, I promised to the forum that I'm going to put down my political trump card for this election, so it's coming down now. So just flow with me. Professor Winston Moore said in a lecture, it would have been February 2nd for the Nation, page 4. Professor Winston Moore said devaluation had not worked in the region. And the heading is economist, devaluation, the devaluating dollar, not good idea. Now, that is the answer what you're saying. You've said that in the region, whatever. Professor Moore is of the view it has not worked in the region and the countries that you just become part of.
Is there anybody in Barbados that you have heard say that they prefer devaluation as an option on any side of the political fence?
No, I want to keep it a kind of...
Your political trump card. Let me ask you the question again.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard anybody in politics in Barbados say that they see devaluation as a preferred option for Barbados?
No.
Okay, good. Where's your trump card, therefore?
No, I'm saying... you allow me to put it on properly? I mean, you can... you said you were not on the union jack, et cetera, so I'm going to allow you to quiz me, but just let me keep to the meter by one say. Let me set back a bit. I'm thanking Professor Moore for his view too. But my trump card is centered around this. I'm going to conclude on this. But you remember, in my previous minister, you remember some time ago, news this with you sometime too. But you said there are two camps over here, for instance, in Tuareg. Since Tuareg was saying that the government would have collapsed. And there's another camp that says the government has shown resilience up to today. Now, that being the case, I am satisfied that the government and all the whatever coming from the opposition, all the other persons, has shown a sort of resilience that is commendable. Now, just now you asked the question, in whom would you want to place your confidence? I would want to place my confidence in this government. And my trump card is going to start here now. I am satisfied that the amount of persons who would be concerned around this area of going to the IMF, the likelihood of a devaluation, and any other peril that could come along with that, I am satisfied that the amount of persons that are satisfied that they will put their confidence in Mr. Schur and his government is going to be of such an amount that it will place him in a victorious position. And my trump card is simply this. The amount of senior people and persons with money, et cetera, If you had to run a poll to find out how many people would agree with the stance taken by the government, it would be amazing. And I am saying this election is going to be around that area and real persons.
I must tell you,
Mr. Short, I'm going to respect the rhetoric. The rhetoric isn't really necessary.
Let me just say this to you.
This is going to pay dividends.
I have sat down here for a week waiting for this so-called Trump card. And all I have been exposed to is a Trump card without the T.
What you don't understand with what I've just said.
You wanted to tie this Trump card to the notion of somebody out there planning to devalue the Barbados dollar.
No, I don't.
Because you made reference to the possibility of devaluation. You did that just now. Yes. And that could be the only part of what you have said that is different to what you have been saying all along, because, I mean, everybody knows that you have been a strong supporter of the Democratic Labour Party for years. Mm-hmm. That you, just like the guy who called first today, took a little bit of a sabbatical from the call-in program, but with general elections around the corner, it is time for you all to come back to the fore now to bamboozle people as much as possible with the rhetoric. My turn? Yes.
I don't want to spend no time on a sabbatical thing. I say before reservation,
Why you got to give me more than that?
Wait a minute, sir.
I'm one of the people in this country that kind of talk does not sell with me. You could go and tell that general talk about you putting your confidence. You could put your confidence wherever you feel like.
But you know what you got to do?
You got to convince other people that that's where they got to go to.
I'm saying to you that I'm satisfied the amount of persons that are going to be pleased.
But you're satisfied.
There's a reservation about going to the IMF, you know. Persons are concerned.
You ain't got no other choice.
You have no choice. Persons are concerned. They don't want to hear this.
Roy, at this particular juncture, stop.
Yes, please.
Stop getting involved in just the talk and think for a while.
I'm thinking, sir.
Let me ask you this question.
You want to say I'm not thinking?
Let me ask you this question. Uh-huh. Where is the Barbados economy now? And what would force any government of Barbados to go to the IMF? And if it doesn't go to the IMF, what is the alternative given the state of the Barbados economy?
The alternative was just given last week here, and the government has got a proposal and a plan that's going to work outside of having to go to the IMF package.
The same government that had five plans before?
You were trying to bamboozle me, whatever, but I'm saying that the structure in place right now has got to be given time
to
work.
So you're saying basically that you believe that plan will be able to garner the kind of financial support that Barbados needs right now. The reason why would you go to the IMF? Why are people saying go to the IMF now?
Yeah, I am saying the reluctance is heavy and not going.
No, that's not answering my question.
By not going.
That's not answering my question. The government, your interpretation of why the government is not going is not the same as other people's. Well, there's another interpretation which says that if you go to the IMF, you can't do the political things that you want to do before the elections. All right? You don't want to go through the discipline that is associated with an IMF program. And in addition to that, you don't want it to be said that you were the government that took the Barbados to the IMF after all this time.
So that's the other side of it.
But you want to answer my question yet?
Yeah, I answer your question.
My question is, what are the factors that would cause people to say, and have caused people to say, Barbados, you need to go to the IMF now? Go to the IMF for what?
But let me answer you now. Let me answer you. You know that there are numerous persons in the island that still has this kind of entrenched fear of hearing about the IMF.
I know that. But we've been to the IMF before.
Wait a minute.
You know that we've been to the IMF already? Do you know that we have been to the IMF already?
I know this. Right. More than one occasion. But at this particular juncture, as the state of affairs is economically, there are persons who are concerned about going like no.
What's the alternative?
There's still this fear, and they're appreciative of not going.
I submit to you, Raul, that after the next general elections, whether the BLP or the DLP wins, we will go to the IMF for assistance.
But
I submit that to you.
You know, Dr. Marshall said yesterday that prior to this, along now, there isn't going to be no discussion from either party relative to it.
But he can answer that. He can start if he likes. But all the indicators are there. I got to leave you, Rob.
I know this quickly. Let me ask this final question.
We locked into this conversation.
I categorically asked Ms. Molly will go. Let her come and tell you, before the election, let her come and tell the public of Barbados that she will go 1 month or whatever after and see what it will bring to her in this election. Let her come and categorically.
I want to hear what the House of Assembly is saying today. So. Huh? I want to hear what the House talking about
today. I want
today.
To hear too. So, I appreciate it and thank you for accommodating me. And that is my stance on it. And I'm looking for my dividends to be paid.
Okay. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Same old suit, man. Just warm over.
Okay.
Good. Well, I just wanted, first of all, to commend the government for achieving something that I think is a very important milestone, that is the finalization of the National Adaptation Plan. And I want to personally commend the Minister of Environment for his critical role in getting the stakeholders together to finalize this plan.
What's the plan?
Secondly,
What's the plan? What's the National Adaptation Plan?
Sorry, a National Adaptation Plan basically is a plan that is instituted throughout many of the Caribbean countries and the developing countries to outline the different strategies that they have to adapt to climate change. It goes sometimes as extensive as up to about 3 to 4 or 5 years to actually develop the plan, but it's very comprehensive. But let me, on a point of clarity, say that I actually meant the government of Grenada, and I meant the Minister of Environment in Grenada. Although this is not a Grenadian broadcast center, I think we can all appreciate it.
I thought
it.
You were congratulating the Barbados government.
No, of course not. Don't mistake me. Sorry. But I know in terms of the spirit of CARICOM, that we will receive this congratulations for them as well. So secondly, I meant Grenada. Secondly, I wanted to acknowledge to the public, because I don't think the Ministry of Finance would have said it as yet, that Barbados would have been given approval from the Green Climate Fund on Wednesday, and they're seeking a total of roughly $27.6 million, which was approved for a $45 million Barbados Water Authority-driven project.
That was announced.
It was announced?
Yes.
Oh, good. The fast, man. One thing I wanted to say about the project, having perused it, is that I think it is a wonderful initiative, but there are some areas that I think that we ought to strengthen in terms of the proposal. I see that they finally mentioned the word rainwater harvesting. They're not carrying it to the extent that they want to let the public extensively know about the benefits of rainwater harvesting. I see the rainwater harvesting aspect or component focuses on allowing the BWA to capitalize on the use of rainwater harvesting. But I think that this is an incentive that should be publicized to show the public that they too can benefit in terms of their domestic use of rainwater as well. I also want to say this against the backdrop of the fact that we had some students from Grenada here earlier this week, who visited the island and gave some presentations at the UN to show persons how they utilize rainwater harvesting back in Grenada and Caracol, those islands as well. So I'm not knocking the project, but I'm saying that I think that they could be a bit more far-reaching in terms of providing incentives for persons.
But what's your background? Because you speak as though you have some expertise in the area.
I have experience in the area.
Experience.
I don't necessarily want to jump and say expertise.
Okay.
But my background definitely is within an international agency that focuses on energy, environment, and climate change.
Okay.
I didn't have any input for this project, but I think it's a wonderful initiative.
What does the project really set out to do? I saw the press release on it, and it was, you know, it touched on a number of things, but none in any real detail as far as I can recall.